We're deeply thankful today to be able to gather together with you around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep thinking about that verse where it said, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ telling you the spiritual makeup of the church. When he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, he warned us that people would say, lo, here is where we ought to assemble, or there. And he said, believe them not, and go not after them. He said, my Father seeketh such to worship him. So we are those who are sought by God to worship him in spirit and worship him in truth, not necessarily in place or at particular time. We have been indoctrinated with that in our Christian walk. And we are going to find out that a lot of people are going to be deceived by thinking that on a certain day at a certain time in a certain place is where your Christianity is, but it's not. Our Christianity is in Christ. Now, it may be that we get together at a certain place at a certain time, but dear soul, if those who get together at that place and time are not worshiping in spirit and in truth, they are not God's sought worshipers. The true worshipers are those that my Father has sought to worship him, John 4:23-24. So we're thankful to be able to come to this place, whether it is a place where we all physically gather together or not. It is a place where the spirits of God's people, the eagles, are gathered together to feast off of the carcass of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that is like eating my flesh and drinking my blood. All right. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 13. Luke chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 24 and read down through verse 27. And we want to direct our thoughts on a phrase in verse number 27, workers of iniquity. That phrase has caught my attention down through the years of my ministry, and I've often looked at what they said. There's two testimonies here. These are people who are going to say things in that day. Matthew 7:22, I believe it is, says, in the day of judgment, in the hour of judgment, it's going to be too late to do anything else. There's going to be no more opportunity to make your case. And saying it is going to be too late if you haven't done it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And dear soul, today, right now, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse in chapter 4, we may read some in that today, Lord willing, said today is the day of salvation. This is the time when we should be doing that which proves that we are worthy to enter in. And so the first word that we read in these verses in Luke 13:24 is the word strive. And that's, if you look at that Greek word, you don't have to say, well, I wonder what that means. It's the word agonize. And if I could pronounce the Greek, and I can't, and I won't even try, because I'm not here to be a comedian and make you laugh at me trying to pronounce the Greek word. But if you look at that Greek word that is translated in English, strive, you won't have to have anybody tell you what that looks like and what it means. It looks like the word agonize. So it reads, agonize to enter in at the straight gate, that is, at the narrow gate. You're going to have to strive to get into this gate. It's very narrow. It's not according to the freedoms and the liberties that you have in just living your life. You know, what do they used to say? Willy-nilly. You just do what you want to do and take the easiest course. No, to get into this kingdom, you're going to have to strive to enter in, because the way the gate is narrow and it's straight. Now listen, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, there's two words in that verse that start with an S. There are those who seek to enter in and those who strive to enter in. What does that mean? It means those who come down to the end time, the seventh trumpet is blown, the angels have gathered together all of God's people, the throne is set up, the goats on one hand and the sheep on the other, and they said, okay, make your case. It's too late now. You've already, as I've heard preachers say at funerals, this brother or sister has already preached their funeral. They lived their Christianity. We don't have to get up here and say nice things about them to convince you that they are Christians. They lived their Christianity. That's what we're talking about. The difference between seeking in that day, well, I ain't got a ticket, but I just assume that I'm going to enter in. Well, you're going to do your agonizing now, because there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the darkness of eternity where you're going to be cast if you wait then to strive. But now you are to strive. Work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Already had a brother tell me today, I've had to be fighting hell by the acres this week. The devil's been after me. I've been laboring. I've had to pray and agonize and cry and seek the Lord's face and read the scriptures and fortify myself with the word of God to try to get out from under that awful load of guilt that Satan is trying to put on me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but the devil's not going to let you get away with that. He is going to make sure you understand that you're not worthy. Well, he's just preaching the Bible to you because we want to understand and know we're not worthy. Revelation chapter 5 said, no man on earth is worthy. No man in heaven is worthy. Well, what are we going to do? She said, I wept much because no man was worthy. And he said, well, you can stop weeping. Why? Because yonder is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed. He hath conquered. So I looked, and what did I see? A roaring lion? No, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. Isn't God good to condescend to men of low estate and bring himself down to the place to where we don't have to be scared to death of him like a roaring lion, but we are appeased by him, not only as a precious lamb, but as a lamb as it had been slain. He has shed his blood for you. God hath delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give you all things? That's a very encouraging thing. It encourages our souls. So you're striving now. These others are just seeking then. They didn't strive. They fared sumptuous. Sit still, I get it. They fared sumptuously every day like the rich man. Man dressed in purple, royal apparel. Had everything the heart could want. And Lazarus laying out there at his gate, scraping himself with pottery, for his sores was hurting him so bad and agonizing so bad. And the rich man didn't do anything to help him. He didn't strive. Dear soul, do you understand what it means in Matthew chapter 25? And I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's just get on over there and let me show you about striving. Matthew 25. This is the scene at the end of the world. And in Matthew 25, let me get on over to it. He's going to say to the righteous, come ye blessed of my Father. This is Matthew 25 and verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father. He said, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What? This kingdom was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So we need to get into the vein of God's eternal election so that we might get into that inheritance that were prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Excuse me, here we go again. Hold your place. I know you're holding your place in Luke 23 now and Matthew 25, but hold your place there and look at Ephesians chapter 1. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to what God's done. This is no afterthought with God. You will act this out and you will strive in time so that you can be able to seek to enter in eternity. But if you didn't strive in time, you have no right and you have no opportunity to seek to enter in into the joys of the Lord. He said, enter in because my Father has a foundation, has a kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God didn't wait. He blessed you in eternity. Can we say eternity past? I don't know how you put past or present or future with eternity, but that's the only way I know how to tell you. Before the foundation of the world, before let there be light, before in beginning was ever pinned down or thought, God had blessed you in Christ. Now listen. According as he hath chosen, he, God the Father, has chosen us in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world. That's when that kingdom was set up, Matthew 25:34. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, according as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And what is election's purpose? Keep reading. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, hath made us accepted in the beloved Christ. You say, that's a lot of words, I know. And it might do good to sit down, you know, sometime maybe with your breakfast and your cup of coffee or whatever at a quiet time and kind of read over that and break it down and let God explain it to you. Because your salvation began before the world began. Now, we were not justified until the Holy Ghost came and convicted us of sin and made us understand that we were dead in trespasses and sins. So justification didn't take place, but election unto justification, election unto salvation, election unto holiness. If God hadn't elected, we couldn't be holy. That's what election is all about, that you may be holy. All right? All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you understand? I don't really comprehend it, but I understand this is true, that God is not just in time, but time and space are in God. That's how vast and big he is. The Apostle Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17. So time and space are in God. God's bigger than what you think. God's bigger than your baptism. God's bigger than your confession of faith. God's bigger than your Bible. God's bigger than your church. There's a vastness of God that cannot be comprehended by man. Paul said, the breadth and height and depth is beyond me. But thank God that we have that available to us because Jesus Christ has suited us, fixed us up, so that we might inherit those blessings. Now, what are you trying to get to? All right, here we go. The difference between striving and seeking. Everybody in eternity, on the first day of eternity, is going to be seeking to get in. Expecting it. Wanting it. Thinking they deserve it. But only those who have striven in times past can be able to, with good hope, get into eternal glory. Why? Here it is. He said, verse 35 of Matthew 25, how can you come, be expected to come and receive the kingdom prepared by the Father from the foundation of the world? Because I was hungered, you gave me meat, food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was homeless, I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you came to see me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And the righteous is going to say, Lord, we don't remember seeing you like that. Well, dear soul, listen, modern day Christian, those of you that are looking and listening to this, let me tell you something. You need to be careful about these categories and don't walk by these kinds of people, because these are those people that have the opportunity to reveal Jesus Christ to you. That wasn't a homeless person. That was Jesus Christ manifesting an opportunity for you to minister to him. That wasn't a man in prison. That was Jesus Christ manifesting an opportunity for you to adorn him with some comforts and to look after him. Why is it too late? Because now, in that day, Matthew 7:22, in that day, here it is, trumpet has blown into the world. Jesus Christ has come, brought back with him all of the just elect of God, sitting upon his great white throne, goats on one hand, sheep on the other. Now we're going to be judged, and understand that we're already judged. It's already settled, because Jesus told us today, and here's this knucklehead preacher probably confusing you with all this that I'm trying to get to, because it is a load. But listen, God has already given us opportunity to strive. Are we striving? There's a difference between striving to enter in now and seeking to enter in then and being disappointed. Why will we be disappointed? Because in that day, the first day of eternity, there are no more hungry people. There are no more thirsty people. You gave me drink. There are no more homeless people and you took me in. There was no more naked people and you clothed me. There was no more sick people or prisoners that you came to and ministered to. It's over. All of humanity, the masses of the trillions of human beings that have ever lived, they have passed from time into eternity. Now, there's no more opportunity. The rich man cannot one more time drive by or ride by in his great carriage and blow dust all over sick Lazarus with his sores. He doesn't have Lazarus to have the opportunity to minister to Christ. I was sick, you came to me. He didn't. But now, where is Lazarus? Luke chapter 17? I think it is. Maybe 16. You can look it up. He says, Father, Abraham, tell Lazarus to go dip his finger in water and drop a drop in my tongue. Can't do it. Why? Because I'm not going to give the thirsty drink anymore. It's done. It's over and done with. There's no more time. There's no more space. It's now eternity. And the striving has to be done now. And that's those verses that I want to get to in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will believe, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation when they provoked God in the wilderness and he cast them off. They had opportunity to strive and believe God, but they didn't. Dear soul, if you're not striving now, there is no need and no opportunity for you to seek to enter in then. Because now is when you are making your judgment sure. You're, as the man said, preaching your own funeral now. When saw we thee? The wicked are going to ask that too. Verse 41 of Matthew 25. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. The kingdom was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. But hell and everlasting fire in verse 41 is prepared for the devil and his angels. What are you doing going there? It's not prepared for you. You're going as an intruder. How did you get into that mess? You didn't strive. You saw Jesus. You said, I never saw Jesus. He lived 2,000 years before I did. You calling him a liar? He said, I was an hungered and ye fed me. Did you? I was athirst and you gave me drink. Did you? These are the things that the Lord said that he gave you opportunity to do while you were in the world. That's the way that it is. So he says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 25, where we're reading, Luke chapter 13, but in verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door. Bam! The door shut. Too late. And ye begin to stand outside, stand without, and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Quit knocking on my door. The door has been shut. You had the opportunity in time to strive. So now, whether you did strive or not, depends on whether you will have success or failure in seeking to enter in. There's no need of you seeking to enter in that day if you did not strive in this day. That's what he's saying. Christianity has to be acted out. Isaiah chapter 55. The book of Isaiah. Chapter 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Rich man. Abraham, Father Abraham. They ain't calling him Father. Didn't have anything to do with religion or God or with Abraham as his father at all in that passage that we read of him. He just wanted to make sure his clothes were nice, that he had plenty of food, that he fared sumptuously every day and was dressed in royal apparel like a king. No thought of God, because there was no thought of Lazarus. When saw we thee? I put him at your gate. He was homeless, but you didn't take him in. He was hungry, but you didn't give him anything to eat. Isn't that something? So the striving is to be done now, or there can be no success in seeking to enter in then. That's what he's talking about. So when the Lord of the house, did I finish reading that? Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way. That's what you have to strive to do. Well, everybody else said, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, you're going to strive against that. Oh, come on, have a drink. Come on, get into this with us. Oh, everybody's doing it. You're going to have to strive against that to show that you have Christianity within you. You're not going to work in order to become saved or become a Christian, but not a single Christian will ever be absent of these works to show that he has been made a Christian. By their fruit you shall know them. Look at that tree. What kind is it? Well, it's got apples on it. What kind of tree do you think it is? It's an apple tree. Well, look at that person. They're kind, they're benevolent. They didn't get that from old Adam. We're born in sin. We're selfish. You let a little child not play with a toy for weeks, and then the mama next door comes over with her little child, and that little visiting child wants to reach over there and pick up that toy. That child that lives there and hadn't touched that toy for months will have a fit and will scream and yell and take it away from them. Selfish. We don't want anybody having what is ours, even though we don't use it. We don't care. We're selfish. That's how we're born. But when you're born again, you've been given a new heart, and you've been given an ointment to anoint your eyes so that you might see the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord, that I saw that person in need today. And there welled up within my heart the love of God, and I did something to relieve their pain. And the Bible said you need to be careful because some have entertained angels without realizing it. God is giving us an ungodly world to live in that we might have opportunity to express Christ's love to them. And Jesus said, now don't come tell me that you didn't have opportunity, because the poor you have with you always. That's what he said. And it's the truth. So we're seeing that striving is for the expression of the spirit of love and Christianity that has been birthed within us by the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And we develop in our sanctification by having opportunity to express these things and to give those who have need, give to those who have need. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. You're out of kilter, you're out of sync if you're not doing this. You need to return unto the Lord. And he, God, will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You better be careful in praying what religion calls the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is recorded in John 17, where the Lord prayed to the Father. This is the disciples' prayer. And what do we pray? Forgive us our trespasses. Watch it. Don't go any further unless you're really going to get in some trouble and put some responsibility upon yourself. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What? You just quoted the Lord's Prayer and you told God not to ever forgive you, but only according as you have a forgiving heart towards others. Well, I ain't going to forgive her. I saw what she said about me on whatever, Facebook, whatever it is anymore. I don't even know what it is anymore. I know what he did, and I'm not going to forgive him. In fact, I'm going to return evil for evil. Then there's no need of you seeking to enter in at the last day when time shall be no more. Because this is the time you could have forgiven them. But there are no more poor, homeless, hungry, sick prisoners. It's over and done with. Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. No. For you, Mr. Rich Man, in your day had your good things, and Lazarus had his evil things. That's over and done with. Look around you, Mr. Rich Man. Do you see a garage to house your fine horses in that carriage in? No, ain't nothing here but hell, fire and brimstone and demons to torment me. There's nothing here. There's no food. I don't even have a drop of water. That's what I'm asking for. It's over and done with, folks. And we're walking right by our opportunity to properly seek the Lord to let us in. Those people who do that, Jesus called workers of iniquity. That's rough. That's rough. That was not their testimony, but that was God's testimony against them. Now, what did that verse say? The master has risen and shut to the door. In the book of Genesis, chapter 7, God tells Noah, it's time. Come on and get in the ark. And in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 7, it says, and I quote, "The Lord shut him in." The Lord shut him in. There's coming a day, dear soul, when it's the day of evangelism, the day of salvation is over and done with, and the day of opportunity to strive is over and done with. The Lord shut to the door. Once the master has risen up and shut to the door, I don't care how much you knock or how much you seek, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. And you say, well, I understand that. That's ancient history, Genesis 7 and verse number 16. The Lord shut him in. Yeah, big deal. I understand that about Noah's Ark. Wait a minute. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to happen again. It's already happened in reality. It's a historical reality. And Peter said, you have to be purposely ignorant of this and put it out of your mind and say, well, God ain't going to do that. And we don't believe in the worldwide. I don't care what you believe or what you don't believe. I tell you, this is the truth. It's going to happen. God said it. That's it. You need to strive now because you're not going to have opportunity to strive after this. And although you're going to seek after this, you're going to be disappointed. In Noah's day, Genesis 7:16, the Lord shut him in. This parable said, after the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to knock and say, let us in, the master's going to say, leave my house alone. I don't know who you are. That's what this says here in Luke chapter number 13, verse 24. Again, strive to enter in at the straight, narrow gate, for many. It's going to be too narrow to accommodate them. But many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. It was in your ability to do so, but now it's not going to be in your ability. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, ye begin to stand without. Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Can't do it. Besides this, there's a great gulf fixed. I don't know what the relationship of hell and its proximity to heaven is, but the parable said, if it was a parable, a great gulf is fixed and one cannot cross over either way. Too late. You begin to stand without and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we ate and drunk in thy presence. Don't you remember, Lord? And I'm not just talking about all those wonderful dinners that we had down in the social hall in the basement of the church. And we had some of those wonderful opportunities to eat Mrs. McGillicuddy's favorite dessert and her favorite pie or pudding or whatever. And this lady brought this and this brought that. And we really enjoyed ourselves. And we were just having a big time. And we did that in your church, Lord. And then you'll say, but wait a minute, something else. You know that table over there said this, do in remembrance of me? I took the Lord's Supper in your presence. We ate and drank the Lord's Supper in your presence, the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. And we bowed our heads and we got a warm, fuzzy feeling. Let me in. Too late. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Boy, I remember that revival, so-called, that we had back in the summer of whatever year. The pastor had this brother come, and his old country boy and come in. He preached like a house of fire. Man, it set us on fire. We had the best time, and we just remember him, and it was a great message. Thus taught in our streets. What's the first word of verse 27 of Luke chapter 13? It's a word of contradiction. But he shall say, now you hush talking, let me tell you. I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. What? Wait a minute. Lord, we prophesied in thy name. We did many wonderful works in thy name. Everything we did was religious. We gave to the missions offering. We had missionaries come in once a year and preach to us each night, a different missionary from a different country. And we'd take up an offering and we'd send them back with all kinds of clothes and materials that they needed. And we really, you know, just fell in love with them. And we sent letters to them later in the year and we thanked them for what they were doing. And wait a minute. The thing that really puts a cap on this is God doesn't deny that they did those things. But he said, I, God, knew you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. All ye workers of iniquity. Man. How did we come to this? And the judgment is over with. Cast all the unprofitable servants into out of darkness. All of those others enter into the joys of the Lord and enjoy the blessedness of the presence of Jesus Christ glorified forever. And that's it. There is not going to be an acquittal. You're not going to be able to appeal your case. In fact, the case was settled before we got to this day. Because now you don't have the hungry anymore. You can't go back and do this. There's no opportunity for a do-over. Today is the day of salvation. This is when you make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Is there the heart of God within your heart? Is there the heart of love and kindness in your heart? For God so loved that he what? Gave. But the rich man hoarded up everything that he had and didn't want Lazarus to have a single drop of it. And now God won't let him have a single drop of water from Lazarus. We need to strive to enter in now, because all of this Christianity, all of this acting out of the Christian spirit, is totally contrary to the world. The world, you can see the world on that road to Jericho, where the man falls among thieves. The Levite sees him, wounded and bleeding, and lost everything he had, crosses by on the other side. Why? I'm on my way to church and I don't want to get messed up. Really? But a certain Samaritan. Now, why did he pick a Samaritan? Because they were hated of the Jews. They were those who had in their lineage, they had intermingled with the other nations, and the Jews despised them and thought they were better than they were. And Jesus said, I'm going to take somebody that's despised and rejected of you, and I'm going to put grace into his heart. And let me show you what grace will do in the heart of even somebody that proud religionists despise. Oh, we don't sit with them. They're not like us. And that's the truth. They're not like you. God's put grace in their hearts. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was and bound up his wounds and poured in wine and oil, disinfectant, and also something to soothe. And he said, you know what? We don't have a second mode of transportation. I'll just walk myself and give him my mode of transportation. Set him on his own beast. And said, let's take him to that hotel over yonder, that motel over there. And listen, motel owner, this man is in bad shape. I want you to look after him. Here's enough money to take care of his rent, all of his meals, his bed changing, his room cleaning, everything he needs. You take care of him, and I'm going to be coming back this way later. And if there's anything more owed than what I give you in this money, I'll give you that too. I'll pay for it. Wow. And what does God say to that kind of person? Enter into the joy of your Lord. But how can those people seem to be workers of iniquity? That word workers, dear soul, they didn't strive. They didn't agonize. That word strive is the word conflict in Philippians 1:30. It's the word fight in 1 Timothy 6:12. It's the word contention in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2. These people have been in a warfare, been in a fight, been in a battle. And they have made sure that no matter how much that donkey was a prized possession of this Samaritan, only the kings had mules. But he sets this man on his own donkey, on his own mule. Dear soul, you realize you got what only belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, what have you got that you did not receive? How did you come out of your mother's womb? Naked. You didn't have anything. You couldn't even cover yourself up. And where did you get all this stuff? God's been good to us. Why did he give us these things? In order that we might have opportunity not to be shamefaced in that day, but to be able to say, Lord, I saw thee naked and I took some of my clothes and I put them on you. I saw thee sick and I visited you. I saw you in prison and I came to you. I saw you hungry and I fed you. And Lord, as you have been so good to open up your hands and give us your animals, your water, your atmosphere, your air, your health, your wisdom, your strength, your stabilities, we want to be able to give something back to you. And the only way we know to do it is to give it to those who are hungry, who are sick, who are naked. And he said, good, because that means that you're striving to enter in. And so now at the last day, you're not going to be disappointed when you seek to enter in. I'm going to say, enter into the joys of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Wow. It's the same word, strive, is the same word translated in Colossians 4:12, laboring fervently. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life. That's what you do now. For today is the day of salvation. What kind of tree is that? Well, it's got evil fruit. But it's sitting in the church showing himself that he is God. I know. But he's Antichrist. What kind of tree is that? It's an evil tree. How do you know? Because it's selfish, cruel, unkind. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Thieves said, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. And the Pharisee, the Levite that came by, said, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. But the Samaritan, the one that proved himself to be a true born-again child of God, says, what's mine can be yours, and I'm going to give it. For God so loved that he gave. You can't love without giving. And dear soul, let me ask you this, and our time's about gone. It gets away so fast. Let me ask you this, and I've asked you this before, and I want to bring it up again. How in the world are the angels going to be able to come and gather God's elect from the four corners of the earth? That's what it says. I'll send my angels and they shall gather mine elect from the four corners of the earth. There have been times when UPS or FedEx have delivered, or the post office has delivered the wrong package to the wrong house. How in the world are you going to be able to have all the angels to get everybody in the right place without the exception of one? Not going to make one mistake. That's amazing. There's not going to be any barcodes for them to scan with their little, you know, scanner that they carry around with them. The one thing they're going to be looking for is all of those that look like their master. He is a loving Savior, so we're going to be looking for those to enter into the joy of their Lord who look like our Master. And they're not going to miss one single time by bringing one of the wicked into the joys of the Lord, or leaving one of the God's precious elect to go into the pits of the damned. Not one error. I'll gather, send my angels, and they shall gather mine elect from the four corners of the earth, and I'll say unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of your Lord. And how is that? Because when they had the opportunity, they produced the fruit of the Christian. They are not just now emptily seeking to enter in. Well, I want in. I demand to get in. I've been a member of that church for... They're not setting forth a case now. It's too late. It's too late to set forth your case now. The trumpet is blown. It's over and done with. There's no more sick. There's no more homeless. There's no more naked. It's over and done with. The Lord has given those people for you to be able to have opportunity to express your Christianity on. Isn't that amazing? I've given those people for you to be able to express your Christianity on. It's too late now. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 3 and 4. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Listen. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. You mean Lazarus had to have sores and be sick and sit out there in that heat and have the dust blown from those carriage wheels and those horses' hooves cover him every time the rich man went by, just so the rich man would have opportunity to be able to strive to enter in? We need to be careful about looking down on those who are not as fortunate as we are and realize, hey, we as man looking on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I have had it manifest to me time and time and time again, people that you just show a little kindness, just say, how you doing? No matter what they look like, they're not like us, don't make no difference. How you doing? Face lights up. Next thing you know, you're talking about the Lord with them, and it's a blessed thing. We look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And God said, I gave people for thy life. I gave Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast honorable and precious in my sight, I gave men for thee and people for thy life. People have had to be naked. People have had to be in prison. People have had to be homeless just so you would have opportunity to strive to enter in, so that when you come to that last day to seek, the Lord wouldn't put his fingers in his ears and slam the door to and say, I know you not. You're a worker of iniquity. But there's going to be a lot of religious people, a lot of good religious people, you know, people that's like us, that's going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, depart from me, I never. And Brother Mike brought a wonderful lesson on that. You need to listen to that, Brother Mike Conrad, in his devotions, in his Sunday school hour. I never knew you. Quite amazing lesson. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What kind of works did they say they were doing? Preaching in thy name, done many wonderful works. We've done all kinds of things. We're religious. You've eaten our streets. We've heard you preach. But dear soul, you didn't strive to enter in. There's a difference between striving now and seeking then. You won't have any more opportunity after that. One last verse. Luke 17 and verse 32. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Dear soul, listen. Lot's wife got out of Sodom. She got on with Lot and her daughters. But she didn't make it completely out because her heart was back there with all that stuff. You need to make sure you strive to enter in so that you separate yourself from everything but Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But it's hard to do where I work because these people don't believe in God and they mock me. That's all right. Strive to enter in. The religious crowd that I'm with, they don't believe like I believe, and there doesn't seem to be the spirituality in their hearts and minds. That's all right. Strive to enter in. Dear soul, unless we take advantage of the opportunity for the naked and the hungry and the prisoners and all of those that Jesus said at that last day, you saw me, then we're not going to have any case to present, and we can't present a case in that last day with any degree of success of entering in. And we were going to hear the words that are horrible to the heart and mind, and it's going to be final, and it's going to be over with, and the gavel's going to come down, and time is going to be no more, and God's going to dismiss us, and there will never, ever, ever be anybody to bring up our case again. It's going to be the finality of hearing those last words, ye workers of iniquity. I pray to God it's not you. I pray to God it's not me. I pray and do everything I can to bring to you everything God tells me so that you might escape this ungodly and wicked world. And man, are we in a mess in America now. God's hand seems to be horribly against America, and he's being brought down. But dear soul, you can go to heaven in this day. It doesn't matter whether it's a great cedar growing in Lebanon or a piece of hyssop growing out of the gutter in the roof or a piece of hyssop growing out of the mortar in the brick of the wall. God's grace will sustain you no matter where you are, what you are. God's given people for thee and people for thy life. There they are. As much as you saw and did it unto one of the least of these, you did it to me. Go on out there and do what you do for the glory of God and for Jesus Christ, and don't go to hell with religious America. May God bless you. Join with me in the second message later, God willing, and thank you for your prayers.